This is a summary of Adulting 101 by Jesh Burnett and Pete Hardesty by bestbookbriefings.com. Adulting 101, Wisdom Life, a complete guide on life planning, responsibility, and goal setting, perfect for high school and college graduation teenagers, friends, family, graduates. You're making a difference, beginning with the end. Let's start by thinking about your funeral. Close your eyes and imagine who's going to be there. What will they say about you? Have you made a difference in this world? Sounds unsettling to think about, right? Morbid, even. But no one lives forever. Your death is just a matter of time. Everything we have in life, we only own temporarily. Although it's our responsibility to take care of it all, none of it can go with us when we pass away. This reality might seem disappointing, but in fact, it's actually freeing. Because our possessions don't last forever, they don't really matter. If we can figure out what does matter, we'll have a life that's well-lived. You matter. What you can do matters. Other people matter, too. In Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he explains that most people want to have a meaningful, difference-making life. But most people don't. What's your goal in life? Who do you want to become? Meaningful living doesn't just happen. No one ever achieved greatness by accident. You need to be intentional. Your life needs to be lived with purpose. But it's okay if you don't know what really matters to you just yet. You're at a stage of your life where you're discovering just what that is. Lots of things are going to try and distract you from investing yourself into the important things. Some of them might even seem like good things themselves. Some things might seem incredibly urgent, but in the grand scheme of things, they won't really mean anything. Here's a list of the top 10 things people regret at the end of their life, according to Addicted Success. 1. I wish I lived a life that was true to myself, not what others expected of me. I wish I hadn't compared myself so much to other people. 2. I wish I hadn't spent so much time working and had spent more time with my family. 3. I wish I'd been brave enough to express my feelings, to love, be loved, and tell others I loved them. 4. I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends and family. 5. I wish I'd followed my dreams and persevered. I wish I'd learned what my purpose was earlier in life. 6. I wish I'd set aside more money to retire with. 7. I wish I'd taken more chances and traveled more. 8. I wish I'd realized that being happy and content was a choice. 9. I wish I'd taken better care of my physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. 10. I wish I'd touched more lives and inspired more people. What's your mission statement? Your mission is the single most important thing you can do with your life. What are your life values? What are your fundamental principles? What are your strengths and passions? You might not have a sure answer to any of these yet, and that's okay. But the sooner you discover your mission and purpose, the sooner you'll be able to start working towards it. Ask yourself the following questions. If you could change one thing about the way the world is today, what would it be? If there is one cause that you could influence, what would you choose? What issues in the world are you passionate about? Making a positive impact. First, remember that whether you want to or not, you have an influence on other people's lives. In order to make it a positive one, you need to be intentional about it. Don't wait for someone to invite or call you. Seek them out first. Do it face to face if you can. Meaningful interactions are hard to accomplish over text. Second, be genuine in your interactions. If you pretend to care about someone, they will know, and it will have the opposite effect. Take, for example, the classic question of how are you doing? People ask it all the time, but honestly speaking, most people don't actually care what the answer is. It's just one more way of saying hello. But what if you stopped, looked someone in the eye, and said, "How are you really doing today?" Third, ask good questions. Even with our closest friends, we're tempted to keep things at a surface level. Dive deeper. Ask why. More often, and really get into the layers behind their original answer. Don't just talk about whatever you did today. Learn about who they are, how they think, and what they feel. Ask others what they believe in, and listen without trying to change their minds. Lastly, be available. People who are too busy for other people in their life can't create a positive, lasting impact for anyone else. Are you a here I am kind of person, or there you are. The more you learn that it's not all about you, the more impact you can have on others, and the more fulfilled you will be. Getting a job, the right kind of attention. Applying for a job is kind of like landing a date. Every interaction will leave an impression in their mind. What do you do when you find someone you're attracted to, and you want to get their attention? You do your research, you look at their social media to discover their interests, and you'll try to match yours to fit. The next time you meet them, you'd want to be in your best attire and shirt. You want to show off the best version of yourself. Don't get this confused for not being yourself. You don't want to give a fake impression. But for interviews and dates, you want to make sure that you're aware of how you look and act. How else can you prepare? 1. Look into what the company does and why they do it. Learn about their history and create one or two intelligent questions from your research. Make sure that you want to be a part of this organization. Are your values aligned? Are you excited about their mission? And are you willing to spend 40 or more hours every week contributing to it? 2. Talk to your references and let them know to expect a call or email from your interviewee. Be sure that you've picked great references, not just family members or friends. Pick previous bosses, coaches, pastors, teachers, etc. people who you trust to give an objective assessment of you. 3. Call the day before and confirm your scheduled interview appointment. 4. Try doing a mock interview with someone who can ask you potentially relevant questions about your greatest strengths, areas for improvement, passions, etc. This is less about giving a perfect response and more getting comfortable with answering questions like these. 5. Make a professional email account for your application. Something with your first and last name will be ideal, with a middle initial or number if needed. During the interview, 1. Wear something professional. Nothing with a stain or a hole, and nothing too casual. A good rule of thumb is to dress above the position you're applying for. 2. Show up early. If you can't be on time when you're applying for a job, there's no chance you'll be on time when you're actually on the job. 3. Give your interviewer a firm handshake. Maintain eye contact during the interview, not too much that it gets creepy, but enough that you don't look shift. Smile. 4. Talk with enthusiasm. Don't make it hard for the interviewer to listen to you. Change the inflection of your voice and show passion. 5. Employers will often ask you situational questions like, tell me about a time when. They want to see that you've experienced different kinds of situations and are ready with a response right away. You should be ready with 3 or 4 versatile stories that you can use to showcase your abilities. Confidence is more important than getting everything exactly right. 6. When they ask you to tell me about yourself, you need to respond with a substantial and to-the-point answer. Focus on what you think they might want to know about you in relation to the position you're applying for, and be careful not to ramble. 7. If asked about your strengths and weaknesses, you'll obviously find it easier to share your strengths. But be honest about your weaknesses as well. Don't give a strength disguised as a weakness, like being too much of a perfectionism. 8. Your interviewers will be interested in your future. Clearly defined goals will show that you're not just carelessly applying for this job, and it'll be critical for the skills you need to develop moving forward. 9. When you're asked about hobbies or interests, share something that will communicate a worthwhile skill, like reading or working for a nonprofit organization. 10. Once the interview is over, clarify the next steps. What is their timeline for selecting the right applicant? When can you expect to hear from them? Email do's and don'ts. 1. Have a professional-looking email account that features your first and last name. 2. Don't type in the recipient until you've finished the email. This prevents you from accidentally sending a half-finished message. 3. Your subject line should communicate your message's purpose briefly and clearly. 4. Refer to the recipient by name at the start of the email. End your email with a professional signature, your name, position in the organization, contact information, etc. 5. The message itself should be efficient and concise. Once you've made your point, move on. Read it out loud before you send it and see how it sounds. 6. Take some time to double-check any attachments. You want to be sure you aren't sending something you're not supposed to. My time is worth more than yours. come in early to work. If you're exactly on time, you're late. If you're 5 minutes early, you're just in time. If you're 15 minutes early, you're showing your boss and coworkers that you're present and committed. Conversely, when you're late, you're indirectly telling other people that your time is more important than theirs. You're being selfish, whether you know it or not. The 10 Principles of Life-Changing Leadership. 1. Lead yourself first by developing the right habits. Read. Grow. Make time in your day for silent meditation to make sure you're on the right path in life. 2. Stick with the people you want to imitate. Find mentors that you can trust and respect, and have success in the things you'd like to do. Keep stock of the people in your inner circle who you are as a result of the 5 people you spend the most time with, so choose wisely. 3. To lead, you must be able to serve. Be humble and care for people in a genuine way. Don't just serve your boss, serve your coworkers and the people you supervise. 4. People are the only real resource in this world. Have a vision for the people you lead and work towards developing them. 5. Tell the truth, but with love. Deliver reality to others, but pick the timing wisely and speak carefully. 6. Always be eager to get better and never be satisfied with where you are, but always celebrate your accomplishments. Keep moving forward. A moving boat is easier to steer. 7. The things you lift up and encourage will be repeated. When people do a good job, thank them lavishly both in public and in private. 8. Hone your listening skills. When people tell you things, repeat them back to them. Work on your emotional intelligence and self-awareness. 9. Take your mission seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously. 10. Guard your integrity at all times. Do your words, actions, and beliefs line up with each other? As a leader, your goal is to make the intersection between these 3 as great as you can. Only then will people follow you. 5 ways to reach success. 1. Set your boss up for success. Ask them how you can specifically help them. Clarify 2 of 3 of the most important things you do in your job, and do them excellently. 2. Volunteer for difficult projects, and perform better than what's expected of you. Let your boss know that you're interested in developing yourself, and that you're open to joining any conferences or workshops that they suggest. 3. People have different needs. Get to know your coworkers and care for them in the way that matters to them. Genuinely help them without thinking of who gets the credit. 4. Seek out constructive feedback. Ask the people you report to how they like to receive feedback, and ask them to evaluate you. You want to know what areas you're strong in and where you can improve. 5. In our electronic age, handwritten notes are as good as gold. Thank you notes, notes after meetings, etc. Write lots of them. It's a good way of personally connecting with others. Relationships, emotional intelligence. Research shows that 90% of high-performing workers have a high emotional quotient, which is a sign of emotional intelligence. Your ability to understand and respond to the emotions of others will affect your workplace. What do you need to do to develop these skills? 1. Listen more than you talk. 2. See things from the other person's perspective. 3. If something's your fault, make a point of apologizing for it. 4. When someone else is talking, don't interrupt or change the topic. 5. Be open and vulnerable with others. 6. Cultivate a safe and positive environment. 7. Make a point of praising people in public and in private. People won't care about what you know until they can see what you care about. Slow down and take the time to connect with the people around you. It'll really make a difference. The truth in lies about relationships, dating, and sex. The top lies. 1. Sex isn't a big deal. It's just a physical act between 2 consenting parties. If this is the case, why is sexual harassment and assault so much more devastating and serious than the physical? Why is our culture and society as a whole obsessed with it? Why does sex factor into some of the biggest regrets people have? Sex isn't just a body thing, it's a whole person thing. 2. Everything will be okay, as long as you find the right chemistry with the right person. Most couples today don't build their relationships. When people have a chemistry problem, they usually try to solve it physically by having more sex. But relationships aren't chemistry equations. If you want to have a better relationship with someone, you need to see beyond the mere chemical reactions and connect to the person that's there. 3. You're meant to be with one person, a soulmate. Your goal in life is to find them. The idea of a soulmate implies that a relationship is about you, that you need someone who perfectly understands you and wants to make you happy. But it's the other way around. 4. Your dating life should be guided by who you're meant to marry. The question you should be asking starts with an if, not a who. Not everyone is cut out to be married or to be single, and that's okay. Dating should be a healthy process of finding out what you want in life while honoring someone else. 5. Everyone gets one chance to get it right, and that's it. This might be the most important lie to hear the truth about. No matter where you've ended up with sex and relationships, you can always reset your direction. You can start over and make different choices. You are valuable and special, and you have dignity and worth. It's never too late. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your worth is inherent to you as a person, not from whatever you can do sexually or otherwise. Your human dignity is a right that no one can take from you. The right person will see you for who you are and honor you no matter what. Getting rich, there are only two perspectives on money: scarcity and abundance. Scarcity says that the world's resources are limited and that there's not enough for everyone. Look out for yourself and get what you can however you can. Don't worry about things like integrity, stress, or principles. Abundance says that there can be enough for everyone if they work for it. You reap what you sow, and you can have peace and money at the same time. This attitude is characterized by gratitude. If you're reading this book right now, chances are good that you're in the top 2% of the richest in the world. If you drive your own car, you're definitely in the top 1%. More than half of the world's population survive every day with less than $2.50. More than a quarter lives without electricity. If you didn't have to worry about your next meal or where you were going to sleep this week, then you are rich. Why worry so much about money? Let's change our mindset and wake up every day feeling grateful for what we have. The secrets to retiring rich. 1. Never go into debt for any reason. If you're in debt now, treat it like a disease that needs ruthless and aggressive treatment. 2. Set some money aside to automatically invest in something and then forget about it. 3. Don't compare your financial status with other people. The comparison game that social media has us playing ends up with no winners. Ever browse Instagram for 5 minutes and decide that your life sucks? Just don't. 4. Think of your money in the right way. It's not really yours, you're just taking care of it for now. Do you hate it, love it? Are you the kind of person who likes to spend it or save it? It's important to be aware of your tendencies so that you can plan around them. 5. Spend less than you make, but give generously to others. Sow generosity and reap abundance. 6. Start spending wisely and saving as early as you can. In fact, do it today. It all adds up at the end, and you need to be able to look at your financial situation in the long term. You'll find that you'll make some mistakes every now and then, but that's okay. Bounce back from failure and make sure not to overcommit to any financial venture. When you reach a big milestone or accomplishment, whether it's saving a certain amount or paying off a mortgage, make sure to celebrate. Make the process of saving a fun one. Tips for making a budget. 1. Figure out how much money you make after taxes, of course. 2. Give 10% of it. This can go towards your local church or a charity nonprofit organization that you support. If you can learn to be generous while you're making a little, you'll be able to be generous when you're making a lot. 3. Pay yourself, but not in the way you're thinking. Put 15% of your income into a savings account and make sure that you don't touch it. Build these habits when you're young, and they'll support you when you're old. 4. If you're in debt, put 10% towards paying it off. The remaining portion, 65%, is what you actually budget towards paying the necessities like housing, food, utilities, phone bills, etc. Nail down what you actually need to survive. Don't go shopping. Whenever you go into a store, make sure you already have a list of what you need. Take care of your business and get out quickly. The bigger the purchases, the more time you should spend thinking about it. 5. When you're doing all of this, make sure to put it down on paper or on a spreadsheet. Running the numbers in your head won't do you any good. Write down what you make, what you spend, and where. 6. Once you've done all of this, you're free to spend the rest. Financial freedom, but within your boundaries. Warren Buffett once said that you shouldn't save what's left after spending, but instead spend what is left after saving. Tips for investing. 1. Set up a 401k, or whatever equivalent your employer offers. Put in as much as, they'll match its free money. 2. Save up $1,000 as quickly as you can, in a separate account from your regular checking account. Once you can, build it up to an emergency fund that's worth 3 to 6 months' worth of your essential expenses. Only touch it in the case of true emergencies. 3. Roth IRA individual retirement account, which grows at a tax-free rate. Find what the maximum possible contribution is and work hard to put it in. This will be an incredible benefit in the long term. The more money you have available, the more you can invest. The longer term your investments, the more aggressive a mutual fund you should pick, a collection of stocks and bonds that will grow in value over time. Most people start investing in index funds first, a group of stocks that comes from the most successful companies, like the Dow Jones Industrial Average. While investing is a wise financial decision, it also comes with a certain amount of risk, depending on where you invest. You need to determine how much risk you're willing to take. Talk to a financial professional or people that you can trust. If you're young and healthy, you can go as aggressively as you can stand to. The plan is for the money you invest to be there for a long time. Tips for buying a car. 1. Never buy a car when you absolutely have to have it. Make sure you're in a position where the car dealer needs you, not the other way around. 2. Always buy at the end of the month or the year. Dealers have quotas that they need to hit, so they'll be more accommodating. 3. Even if you're sure you want to buy a specific car, walk away from it at least once and give it some time. Know what you want and how much you're going to be spending on it. 4. Never lease a car. It comes with a whole host of restrictions, and while you're paying for it, you will have no equity in the vehicle. It essentially belongs to someone else. 5. Always buy used cars. The moment a brand new vehicle leaves the lot, it immediately loses up to half of its original value. If you buy a car that's 1 or 2 years old, someone else has already taken the hit for its value decreasing, and you'll get it for cheaper. If you want to drive a car for a long time, keep an eye out for a low mileage, not a more recent model. 6. Remember, buying a car is a large, long-term purchase that can affect your credit for a long time. If you decide to go for it, remember that even when your car gets all scratched up and sticky, you'll still be paying as much for it every month, so be careful. What to look out for when buying a house or renting an apartment. 1. Is it in a safe neighborhood? 2. What does the entire lease say? Agents will often hide a bunch of various fees that you'll have to pay if you decide to move out early. 3. What's the traffic situation like? Is it near any public transportation or parking? 4. Are utilities included? 5. The true price of a house is much higher than the sale price. Tips for building up good credit. 1. Check your score on places like Credit Karma. The first step is always to determine where you're starting from, and it's free. 2. Always, always, always pay on time. This is the biggest factor in determining your credit score. Mess this up, and you'll regret it for years to come. Even if you can't pay it all off now, make sure to pay at least the minimum. Remember that credit card companies make most of their money from the interest payments of the people who carry a balance every month. 3. Don't run a high balance on your credit card, even if you can pay it on time. Try to stick to charging 10 to 15% of your maximum credit. Don't open a bunch of new credit cards at once. Even if you aren't using a line of credit, leave it open, as long as you aren't paying an annual fee. 4. If you have parents that you can trust to make good financial decisions, ask them to make an additional card member without giving you the card. That way, your name is tied to an account that has a history of consistent payments, which will help to build your credit history. 5. Assess different credit cards to see which one's right for you. Learn what their annual fees are, cash advance fees, late fees, and so on. A good site to go for all of this is NerdWallet.com. Managing your time, how to get things done. 1. Prioritize. Ask yourself what the most important thing you need to do today is, and then focus on accomplishing it first. When you're tackling a big task, start with the first step. 2. To increase overall efficiency, cut back on the amount of time you allot to accomplish a task. It's for this reason that meetings should always have a set time to end. 3. Establish a headquarters, a hub where you write everything down on, from tasks to appointments to ideas. Evernote is a great application for this, or the notes section on your phone. 4. Set aside some time to make plans for your week. Maybe every Sunday night or Monday morning before you go to work. 10 minutes of planning can save you an hour of worrying, and it'll give you a sense of purpose and direction. 5. Wherever you go, always bring a book with you so that you'll have something read during downtime. Your friend's running late for a meeting with you. Make that time your own. 6. If it takes less than 3 minutes to do, do it right now. You can build up momentum for the day with a couple of small wins for your productivity, and you can use that to tackle the most important thing for the day. 7. Delegate your work when necessary. If someone you trust can accomplish something 80% as well as you, then have them do it. 8. Find out how much work on minimum it will take to get something done. This doesn't mean you need to sacrifice excellence, but sometimes making something 10% better means putting in 100% more work. Make sure that 10% is worth it. 9. Set aside some uninterrupted time in your day to put your phone in airplane mode while informing the relevant people beforehand, of course. I guarantee you these hours will be the most productive of your day. 10. Put everything into your schedule, prayer, exercise, etc. What matters the most? Plug those into the schedule first. That way, you'll know for sure if you're available the next time your friend asks you out for coffee. The more organized you are, the more spontaneous you're allowed to be. Remember, you're seeking a life that's well-lived. Be the friend you wish had, the employee, the boss, the coworker, the family members, the leader, the lover, the support. At the end, all of your toys will go back in the box. What matters the most are the people whose lives you influenced, who will tell your story. Whether you prefer to read or listen, we have something for you. Visit bestbookbriefings.com now for more summaries.